flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, it is indeed a Friday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Hope you're having a fun one out there. We are, man. It's Friday. We getting ready for the weekend one, but two, for our trip down to NOLA for Radio Row. Thanks to Flight by Yingling and the Low T Center for helping make that happen. Also, to Mo Carum Injury Lawyers for helping us stream. You'll be able to really get a good idea of all the things that are happening there on Radio Row with the fellas, but then also like with the guests. Like, you will have real clear pictures. In fact, Figgy, I know that you're in a big part of that as well.
Yeah.
And then Exclusive Furniture.
Exclusive Furniture.
Right. Making sure that
Make sure you follow us on social media though, because that's the reason I'm going, because if you've been listening to the station for years, I'm usually the one standing here making sure everything runs okay. But they got me going out there to, you know,
you're step out in the streets now.
Yeah, I'm gonna be doing a lot of social media stuff. So make sure you follow Sports Radio 610 on Instagram, check the stories and the reels and stuff like that. Follow me on Instagram at the Figgy Fig.
Yeah, tap in with him. He's gonna make. It's like, this isn't gonna be
It's not gonna be typical radio. It's gonna be behind the scene. A lot of behind the scenes stuff.
And you already posted a Super Bowl related Twitter tweet.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're gonna figure out what we're listening on the way down. Someone said that what we should do as a station is rent a nice coach bus and all go together down to New Orleans and stream like that. Well, it's a little late to make that happen. Maybe next year for Super Bowl. But yeah, that would have been cool, as if we were all just
drive to San Francisco
like a party bus. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
a little sprinter.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the way that we want
to
play.
Let's drive to San Francisco.
Oh gosh, actually,
I don't know about that.
I mean, we're all going to be in the house
with John Lopez playlist.
Yeah. Oh no, we wouldn't do it that way.
I could play them all.
Oh, no. In fact, we're gonna. I feel like driving separately is probably the best. I think each show is driving, so you'll have Pendergast in the morning, we'll have us together, and then I think Clint and Ron will be driving themselves as well. So I imagine that we'll have different things from all three of those different parties. But then also, we're all going to be in the house together down in New Orleans, so I'm sure that there's going to be plenty of opportunities for us to mix and mingle in those ways. And
speaking of that, I got a list of stuff that I kind of a checklist for the mixtape, for Figgy's mixtape.
Okay,
The worst, we got to identify the worst vacation roommate and which 610 host is it.
Okay,
so
perfect.
I'm gonna go through a list, and we just gonna be like, oh, that's this person.
Excellent. That is what we in the business call a tease. That's going to be coming up in the mixtape. Right now, though, I would love a tease if somebody would actually let me know how this is going to conclude. Is Alex Bregman going to be an Astro or not?
That's a good question.
I would like to know. I'm starting to get impatient. I know the whole theme of this show has been, you know, things that are worth waiting for. That was our question of the day. In fact, I'm getting a little tired. I'm not going to lie.
Is this worth waiting for at this point?
That's a good question.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I feel like,
at least resolution.
I think it is. Yeah. I think it is. But with the Alex Bregman thing, the will they, won't they, Ross and Rachel of this all that we've had going, at various points, we were, oh, man, Alex Bregman, this is a good offer. No, I don't think he's going to take it. I think he's going to go over there. Wait, door's back and open. It's only cracked open just barely. And apparently, the most recent version of this was Jorge Polanco was the name that the Astros were supposedly going after. An infielder, primarily a third baseman, had a down year last year with Seattle, with the Mariners. I think
had a good end of year.
He had a good end of the year, and that was the thought, is maybe you are buying low on a player that, you know, a little bit older, but still has an opportunity to maybe bounce back and have a good season. Well, I don't know. I don't know how, just how strong the Astros were going in, and maybe that's where we start this conversation, because Jorge Polanco re-signs with the Mariners as of yesterday. And it was a really interesting piece by Chandler Rome and Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic talking about Jorge Polanco. It's a one-year, $7.75 million deal.
That's
seven
nothing.
And three-quarters of $1 million. Is a really, really doable contract.
Doable is the right word.
And so he returns to where he was last year, and there, I think there's a vesting option depending on how many at-bats he gets or whatever. Y'all don't really care about that, do you? One-year deal for under $8 million, and that feels downright doable. But the Astros were not the ones to get it done. Did they get outbid here? Like, first and foremost, what do you read into that?
A couple things. I think they kind of showed us that they're locked in on Bregman. That doesn't mean they're getting Bregman. Because that contract, they could have gotten it done. You know, if they wanted to do that, they clearly could have gotten it done. Play him at second base, move Altuve to left field, and here we go. Right? They didn't do that. I think it means they're locked in on Bregman, but there's still some issues with that. Number one, I mean, he's still out there. I think the Tigers have lately gained some steam, it seems like, in terms of maybe they're going to get him, get Bregman what he wants. And then we're you know, the other thing here is I kind of feel like, as much as the Astros have floated this thing about Altuve in left field, Altuve is kind of talked around, I'll do anything, you know, in terms of going to left field.
Yeah, but he also said that they hadn't talked about it, but he'd be open to it.
They can't possibly really want him to play left. There's no way.
Well, that's what you say that.
Yeah.
But I will turn to, again, the very good reporting of the team at The Athletic, making it abundantly clear that the Astros were looking at Jorge Polanco to play second base.
That's what I'm saying. But they got out on that.
No, I know, but that was, I didn't know that it was so specific that Jorge Polanco would come in and this was he was absolutely going to play second base.
Yeah.
This was not going to be, he plays third base and we figure out what to do with Isak Paredes. They weren't doing none of that. It was going to be Isak holds down third, Jorge Polanco plays second, and then Altuve moves to left field, which, oh, so this left field thing is a thing, huh?
I think it's been talked about. I think it's a thing in terms of the building. Hey, what about this? But clearly they have to be sitting there going, what are we doing? We can't put that man out in left field.
You know what that sounds like to me? It feels like the impetus of that is we can't put that dude in left field, but we absolutely can't do this, have him play second, is what it sounds like.
Well,
it sounds like, because again, why are you bringing in Jorge Polanco? You didn't have an absolute need for Jorge Polanco. Mm-hmm. But if you were chasing after him in order to absolutely replace second base, that feels like you were absolutely trying to get Jose Altuve off of that spot.
Yeah.
Do they have concerns about him?
I think they should have concerns. That's the better spot.
But the idea that they are absolutely, it feels like they're absolutely trying to move that man off of second base.
But I think, you know, hey, do you want to play in second or left? It's clearly second. I thought Jim Bowden had a really good point that I hadn't thought a lot about.
You want to hear from Jim Bowden?
Let's hear it.
All right,
I thought this, we'll talk about it. I thought this was interesting.
This is Jim Bowden talking about Alex Bregman.
I think in terms of Houston, you know, Bregman makes sense as long as you have the Paredes trade in, you know, ready to go for that left-hand hitting outfielder that they're going to need. I mean, they need help in the outfield. Now, if you can take Paredes and you can spin him for a left-hand hitting outfielder and then sign Bregman back, that makes sense. If you sign Bregman now, then, you know, you're kind of complicating things a little bit, right? Because, you know, you want to put Paredes at second. He's not a good second baseman. And you're going to take away one of the best defensive second basemen in Altuve.
Oh,
and you're
going to
put him in left field where he doesn't have an arm to throw. I mean, he'll play out there because he's Jose Altuve and he wants Bregman back. But baseball-wise, that's not a smart play. And what I'm being told from people in Tampa, they don't think Paredes would be adequate enough in left field to be the everyday left fielder there. So to get Bregman back, to me, the only thing you do is you now spin Paredes. And the question is, do you have a place to spin him?
See, that to me was really interesting. Outside of the nonsense about one of the best second basemen in baseball, you know, he's one of the best hitting second basemen in baseball, if you want to qualify it. But flipping Paredes, flipping him after you get him, because then you could land on Bregman at third, Altuve at second, and you get an outfielder, which is the biggest need.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, that seemed like that's the part that makes the most sense.
To me, it does.
Because clearly they didn't think they were getting Bregman back, which is why they got a replacement.
But now they have a chance.
Now it's like, oh, you want to come back. Oh, we can work it out. Yeah. So.
Well, but here's the thing. They already have the replacement in Isak Paredes, and they were looking to go get Polanco as well.
Yeah.
Like, look, as much as I understand what you're saying, yeah, just you do that.
But
Altuve at second.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I think that they want to move Altuve off of second, whether without Bregman, outside of Bregman, they want to move him off second, which is an interesting proposition. I understand. I would, like, if it's just, yo, move him to DH, that'd be one thing. It's the fact that you're moving a dude who, has some range issues and absolutely doesn't have the arm for the outfield, moving him to outfield just to get him off of second base. I think that's the thing that I find to be really interesting out of
but
this.
But, I fear...
That's a bad idea, man.
I fear left field for him.
Hey, that is a bad idea.
Because he can't play DH. I mean, you got too many options.
Well, but that's the thing,
that
is
you have to play DH.
Jordan is the better option at DH. Yeah. Like, 100%.
And he can't play first base.
Yeah.
You want to see him skying for a ball up top?
No, me personally, I would rather put Jordan in left field than Jose Altuve in left field.
Yeah, but you can't every day. You can't do it every day.
Actually, speaking of possibly playing left field, how about we talk to an outfielder? So, what's the podcast again here? So I make sure I do this right, Figgy. This is from the Crush City Territory podcast. They were talking to an outfielder. His name is Josh Reddick. Are you familiar with him?
I am very familiar.
Very good. This was his assessment of the possibility of Altuve playing left field.
You are our resident outfield expert. Can Jose Altuve play left field? Is that a possibility?
I mean, anything is possible. Just to quote Kevin Garnett real quick. You see crazier things. I mean, look at the guys like, Tatis got moved out there and he got a gold glove out there. So you just never know. And Jose's an athlete. He's an all around athlete. So I think is it going to be easy to learn? Absolutely not. But is it going to be something that he can learn and handle? Absolutely. He's going to spend all his extra time. We've already seen pictures and footage of him already out there working at it at Daikin Park. He's going to be working his butt off at it in spring training. And, they've got a good system out there. Keeping their outfielders has been something that we've always had a good pride in, and they've always had really good defensive outfielders. So he's got good, the young kids can help him out a lot. And it was like I told about Jordan playing a little bit. Maybe you shift Jake or Chaz, whoever's playing center that day over there. But, Tuve's got the speed to cover anything, and that's not really going to be an issue. The issue for him is probably those line drives. Line drives are the hardest one to master, even if you're a seasoned outfitter. It's the ones whether they're going to go right at you, are they going to top spin, or are they going to keep going? That's going to be your hardest part for him to learn. But can he do it? Absolutely. And I think you pick your poison with it. You give Altuve the days where it might be not as easy, where you want Jordan out there for like the Fenways and the Daikin, but you give Altuve a little bit easier task to kind of manage his workload and make it look better. And if he starts improving, then you throw him out there more. So I think he's got every ability to get it done. He's just got to learn how to throw the baseball from that distance. That'll be probably his only issue.
Shout out to outfield correspondent. Man. Josh Reddick.
By the way, I know y'all ain't watching this video, but he is doing a podcast while skiing.
That's right.
Skiing?
That's right.
Yeah, check it out. Follow them at crush_city_pod.
Literally skiing, or he's on the side of the mountain?
I mean, he's got a helmet on.
He's in the snow.
Yes.
You can see people flying past him.
I don't think he's actively moving.
This is actually a little bad. He's not moving, but
that's the only way it could be more skiing is if he was actively moving.
He's
on the slopes.
It's like he went all the way down the hill
before he gets back up. I gotta do this podcast real quick.
You can see people skiing behind him.
By the way,
and shout out to him for actually, he got Dyke, like he's like, I'm calling it Daikin Park.
Yeah, he did. How about
good
that?
Good for him.
But a couple things, all right? So that was a nice, very detailed answer. Certainly had Altuve's back in terms of what he's capable of doing. But he told us all we needed to know in the first sentence. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Anything possible.
Anything's possible. In other words, I don't know about that. And then shout out
to both Jim Bowden and Josh Reddick for being really nice and saying that Altuve is really athletic and has the range. And I'm like, guys, we don't have to lie. We can be honest.
We can say where fingers are crossed. And then the other thing he said is like, maybe split it up. Like the real hard parks, like Fenway and Daikin. Daikin, that's your home stadium. That's your, like, you know, sit him in the hard part.
That's right.
You know, like, you know, the home field.
Yeah, man, it's this is the part where I go, and I know someone's already texted in, where you go, Dana, what are you going, yes, getting at? Like, yeah. I understand the bringing Bregman back, and I'm still in that place where I would like to have him back. But man, in order to make this happen, like, I understand there's not an easy way to do it, but it seems like they're trying to move him to left field just to do it. And that's where I go, maybe it's very possible that they just know more baseball than me. It's quite possible. I just can't wrap my head around this one. And
well, I mean, let's try to, you know, put our imaginations to work here. There are going to come some games, and perhaps even postseason games, where a ball and a play has to be made in left field and Jose Altuve is out there. If this happens.
Certainly. But I mean, you can
What's your confidence level on that?
Yeah, but and this is where it gets tough, because I understand the same thing being at second base, and my confidence level isn't super high defensively.
But at least he's been there. At least he's, you know, he's got that right down, that routine down, and certainly knows his way around the park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I feel you. But that's just been such an oddity with all of this, is that move. But again, it felt like that was going to be a part of him, of bringing back Bregman.
Mm-hmm.
I think now we're seeing that that is a separate thing. And especially if that's a separate thing and they're trying to do that anyways, please, I'd much rather have Alex Bregman. Like, so, yeah. Now, I know that there's been a lot of talk about this. Hell, you've heard the promos on him here on 610, where Seth is like, yeah, I don't think that same deal that's been out there, mm-hmm, for Alex Bregman should be the one that he comes back. Like, it feels like, hey, nah, you missed your opportunity. You got to come back and maybe, like, prostrate yourself before the team and take less money. I'm 100% okay if he comes back. He's like, hey, y'all still got that 6-year 156? I would now like to take it, because I think that's fine.
Yeah, I do too. But I kind of like the idea of, you know, that Nightingale floated there. You know, go ahead and flip Paredes and
Bowden, Jim Bowden.
Jim Bowden. My bad. Yes. Jim Bowden, and go ahead and flip him. If you're that in on Bregman, then you at least have the consistency of Bregman at third, Altuve at second, and you got an outfielder and a new first baseman.
And I know some people are in this place where they're just like, I understand that Isak Paredes hasn't, you know, we don't know about him playing left field. Well, if somebody's going to learn left field, why not Isak do that as well? Like, I think that's the question. I'm super intrigued as to what spring training looks like, because these are ambitious things that they're talking about. And what's tough is, it'd be one thing if it feels ambitious, but the fallback plan is one that you're like, all right, but we got a safety net.
Yeah.
You're going to... I mean, look, it feels very evident that they're going to put Altuve in left field, even if just to try it in spring training.
Yeah, there's, well, at least
it,
that.
If it doesn't work, there's not great fallback plans, mm-hmm, on this. So, like, they're taking quite a swing here, and I'm interested to see how it works, but there's a lot of exposure to this not working the way that you want.
Yeah.
And yes, 281, also great to bring this back. If you don't bring back Bregman, what exactly was the point of the Presley trade? And that's saving money would be the actual answer here, which that's the one that nobody wants to hear. Because that makes you
saving
really
money
bad.
And probably, I don't know if Presley was happy because, mm-hmm, he lost his job here once you signed Hader.
No, so maybe, and they said as much.
Yeah, maybe he just wanted a fresh start.
Yeah, but you also had to convince him to drop his no trade clause. So it's not like he was eager and trying to get out necessarily, or at least it didn't feel
like he wasn't trying to get out, but he had the no trade clause, so they would have had to go to him regardless.
I think he was not, I think he loved it here. He said as much in all his goodbyes, and his wife and his mom were tweeting stuff and all this. No, it hurt. It was hard for him to do that, but I think he hated being the setup man. And at some point, you have to make that business decision. You know,
you can't have two high price closers.
Yeah,
I guess.
And as much as I kind of like the idea of having Isak Paredes, I think that probably the best path forward to not have an outfield that is just completely able to be dunked on in a way,
right,
is flipping Isak Paredes.
Like, yeah.
Bring back Bregman and flip him, mm-hmm, so that maybe you can see if you can get a left fielder or an outfielder that has some level of defensive acumen. Because I mean, look, you do have, you know, maybe Jake Myers, who, you know, has range.
Mm-hmm.
If Chaz is, you know, swinging the bat better, that feels a little bit more palatable. But if you're dead set on having Altuve in the outfield for a decent amount of time, you have these young bucks that you're hoping can come up and maybe grab some spots. But there's not a lot of confidence from me, and I don't know about from you guys, in that outfield defensively, especially.
Oh no,
and that feels like that's going to be untenable.
Offensively.
How tenable is it to have an outfield that you just aren't very scared of?
Well, and that's the other part of it. You're fancying yourself as a hey, we're contenders.
You're not just putting a team out there.
Not like, he'll be all right in left. He'll be all right in right. No, that's not what contending teams play. That's not how they do it.
Yeah, and shout out to A32 who did say that it wouldn't be the first time that Jim Crane saved money to not keep a valuable player. I understand that. But after a while, it frustrates people, and this feels like that would be the place where you get frustrated, where on an off season, after Correa, after spring, or all those instances, now you have another. I mean, in a way, you traded Kyle Tucker to save money in a way, right? Because at least to get back some talent. It'd be real frustrating to end up in the off season where you also don't have Bregman and Presley in order to save money in some ways. But that's where we currently stand. It feels like we're in the weirdest will they, won't they, and I need this to come to a conclusion.
It's quickly.
And I really hope the conclusion is Bregman back. Like, figure out the rest after that, because it feels like Altuve in left field is almost a foregone conclusion. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, I'd rather have Alex Bregman back. Me personally.
Okay.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a funky Friday, as I have crowned it myself. Let's get even funkier as we hand this thing over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us?
Yeah, so I got questions to identify the worst vacation roommate, since we all be in the same Airbnb for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. I got a list of questions, and I want to point people out who we think they are here at Sports Radio System.
Ooh, all right. Okay, let's get ready for Radio Row. We'll do it next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Friday. Happy Friday, a funky Friday, as Reggie liked to say. And we'll be going off to New Orleans this Sunday.
Can't wait.
And I'm super excited about it. And I know we had some fun about the aux cord stuff, the aux cord wars, and riding in the car together. But I'm really excited about this, man.
Yeah, man.
I never did a road trip like this with a work event. Okay. So I know Lopez, you did that in the past, as far as like going to training camp.
Yep.
Times you did the training camp.
Went to the Dallas Super Bowl and sliding all over icy street highways.
Ooh, yeah.
That was a ride, baby.
Was that 2011?
Yeah, one of our vans went into a ditch.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't in it. It was
you in ditches. You just be all
no,
up
it wasn't
in
me.
Ditches.
It wasn't me that time.
It freezes over, and now Lopez got his car and his truck flipping over.
It was
over
someone else. I just heard about it.
Yeah. So this or next week coming up, this is gonna be the first time we all actually stay in the same place together. Like in the past, we all stayed in different. We had hotels and different rooms and stuff like that. But we gonna be in the Airbnb, a big Airbnb, by the way. So we're going to have our own rooms, and we're going to pretty much be in our own house. So I think the last time y'all did something like that, as far as like sharing rooms,
was Indianapolis. When was the Indy Super Bowl? Probably 8 years ago or so.
Yeah, because I remember you.
I slept in the basement. Remember that?
And they had a spider.
Oh, I remember that.
A spider?
There was a big spider in the basement that I never killed it. It would just be like hovering over my head when I'm sleeping.
What was the event y'all went to when you shared the room with Cody Stoops?
Oh, that was the Super Bowl. Where was that one? I forget where that one was.
Because I was actually filling in as a producer.
Yeah, I forget where that one was. But yeah.
But this is going to be the first time Sports Radio 610 be in a place all to ourselves together.
Yeah.
And I got a list of questions, man. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read the question. I want y'all to yell out who is this person on Sports Radio 610.
Gotcha.
Get involved. 713-572-4610. I want you guys' input more than my own, honestly.
All right. Who would be the person that set 15 alarms in the morning and somehow sleep through them all?
Ooh.
Sleeps through the alarm guy. That would be...
I might be up there. I'm probably... That's probably
Are you
me.
The sleep through the alarm guy?
I might be that. I've been better about it, but I do
he
have...
He hits snooze.
I have a... Sometimes it's not snooze. Sometimes it's just I'm not seeing that. But yes,
I want to say Tyler, but yeah, it's like Tyler be holding down the fort here.
Yeah, Tyler's holding down the fort here because Tyler was my first thought as well. I feel like
Tyler might be up all night.
I feel like that's also a great point. I feel like Clint's probably a pretty punctual wake up guy. I feel like being parents, you guys are probably
not me.
Okay, well not you, but like. Parents are typically
kind of wired to wake up early.
Yeah, we need to wake up. So I feel like Ron and Clint probably getting up too. I think I'm the guy.
It might be Reggie.
Yeah, okay. That's me.
Who will bring the most luggage?
Show.
Really?
Oh, mm-hmm. Really? I like that. Yeah. Okay. I think that's fair.
Show likes to have his look going.
Yeah, he dresses it up pretty nice. He dresses it up pretty nice.
I think he's a big
Don't call me sensitive, hell your ass.
I think he's an accessory guy. He's gonna have all his colognes and lotions and he's gonna be packed.
Okay.
Yeah. Gonna be looking good on the Mo Care injury lawyer on the fan cam.
Yeah.
All right. Who is the let's wake up at 6 AM to maximize our day type?
Lopez
taking that person?
Yeah, I'm that person. I get up 5:30 every day, whether I like it or not, sometimes. Although I might sleep in a little later there because I'm sure we'll stay up later and I'm not, you know, no real obligations.
That felt like, to me, that felt kind of like a Sean. Sean feels like he gets stuff done and he has like his,
could be
his
Sean
day
too.
Plan pretty well.
Yeah, so I can
like,
see that.
Yo,
yeah.
let's get these things done.
He do a lot of trips too with his lovely wife. So I can see him being that.
It could be Sean as well.
All right. Who is the mysteriously disappear for hours without texting only to return with a weird story of zero explanation?
Ooh, this is good.
I have
gone
no
for
idea.
Hours.
Yep.
Doesn't text.
Don't let you know.
And comes back.
Man.
Is that B. Scott?
I'm going to go with Ron on this one.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think.
I feel like Ron is the person. We're like, where Ron at? And then
now,
he come back.
Okay.
Hey, I was at the bar and I met up with these Chiefs fans or...
I think I could do it for at least one or two nights because I'm going to go to the casino. And remember,
oh, the casino aspect really changed.
Yeah, remember last year, I did the casino the like till 2 a.m. a couple times.
Yeah.
So I won't do it consistently just to go whatever party or whatever. But if I go to the casino, I'm sure I'll come back.
Oh, we
be
have,
hard to reach.
We've not thrown Seth up in any of these. Is there any chance that Seth is one of these?
Oh, yeah.
Or is this one the idea of just like disappear for time?
Yes, he wanders.
Okay,
he's a wanderer.
Is he a wanderer?
Yeah, he's a wanderer.
Okay,
That's a good one, actually.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, this one, I guess maybe not to point out anybody on this one, but how do y'all feel about the temperature in the room? Like,
that's going to be a fight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you cold?
Because we got
like I generally like it cold.
Where do you want the temperature at?
Okay, it's going to be warm. It's not going to be a cold.
No, it's going to be a solid.
Yeah. It's going to be like kind of like how it is here.
70.
Right now, around, yeah, high 70.
No, I'm saying the thermostat's on 70.
Oh, you want this?
For you?
70? Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want to hear where my and that I'm sure that's you being like, oh, it's decently warm, right?
Because I like to sleep under blankets, too.
Do you know where my thermostat is right at this moment?
Probably on the
wall.
You're
going to be well, that's... I can't even be mad at you because I set myself up for that one. You're going to be sick. The listeners are going to be sick. My thermostat in my apartment right this moment is at 77.
Goodness Lord.
Gracious, good man.
Lord. Yeah, we're going to fight.
Yeah. Now, of course, you better bring a coat.
77? That is me understanding I'm the only one in the crib. I can do whatever I want. Usually, like I'm trying to keep it like 75. So, yeah.
I would have passed out, man.
Bro, I am warm.
I don't think I ever had the temperature at 77 ever.
Somebody said, how old are you? I like it warm, man. I like it warm. I do. So, yeah, that might be a fight. Or I'll just wear a hoodie around. Like, that's the thing is I'm also, like, pretty amenable, though. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably just I need to make sure to bring my house hoodie. I'll just wear a hoodie around the house the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is the snorer?
I snore.
It ain't
you
me.
Snore?
I snore. My wife has been known to, I'm just going upstairs. Like, especially when I drink. Like, if we go out and have some pops or whatever, and I come home, it's going to be a chainsaw.
Damn.
Yeah. Sorry.
Somebody said that's criminal. People are not very happy about.
They shouldn't be.
The 77 on my thermostat.
That's right. That's insane.
Warm, baby. Warm.
Goodness gracious.
And hey, we just got a correspondence from Sean Pendergast who said Seth is absolutely. He is 1,000% disappear guy.
Yeah, he's a wanderer. He wanders all kinds of places.
Damn, man. Yeah. Who is the person that borrows other people's stuff?
Ooh.
Let's see.
This is a great question.
Borrows other people's stuff.
I can see.
I don't have a good answer here.
I can see Clint doing that. Let me get some of that lotion, chief.
Let me get some. I can see that. Hey, Big Tom, what you doing? Can I get some of that?
I love my toothpaste, man. Hey, let me get some of that toothpaste, chief.
I hadn't even thought of it until you put it like that. I think you're right.
All right, who was the person that take the long ass showers, the 45-minute showers, and hold
Hi,
up
my name is Reginald.
I should have guessed that.
What's up?
I'll take a long-ish shower. I just like the hot water, but
I'm talking about in a setting where we got to share the shower and who's taking the longest.
Yeah,
is probably Reggie. Mm-hmm. Who is that person who come back to the hotel at 3 a.m., turn on all the lights, and start a FaceTime call?
Oh, so who's the noisemaker?
Figgy.
Ooh, we haven't put Figgy in there.
Yeah, Figgy. You got to hit up Christina. You're going to be your mom's going to call. She's going to ask you.
They said Clint. Big capital letter, Sally said Clint.
I was going to say Lopez. Lopez good for going back to the hotel. I got to talk to the wife, man.
No, I have to do that, especially one of those nights when I go to the casino. That'll happen. No, I'm back. I'm cool.
Wait, I'm being attacked right now for the 77 in a way that I did not anticipate, but I probably
should've. You should be.
You should be, man. You should be crucified for this. Probably crucified. You probably are crucified being in 77 temperature.
It feel great, baby. It feel great,
man. All right, who's the let's do everything together guy?
Parker.
Good answer. Good answer. Good
Honestly, answer. I was going to say me.
Yeah?
I was going to say me because, like, I'm good with, hey, let's go here. Hey, come on through. Come on through. I'm the one that.
No, you are, but Parker's going to want to be
He's
going
to facilitate
everything together.
Yeah. Hey, let's just go all. Okay.
Okay.
All
right.
Who is the aggressively scheduled activities guy? And who's the let's go on the flow, let's go with the flow guy?
I tend to be let's go with the flow guy.
I don't know who's the planner. Like, I don't
think we have any planners.
I keep getting Sean for planner, like, but I don't know. No. That might be unfair to him.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think that's just he's very good at orchestrating a show and organized, and so all the organization things I feel like go to him.
Do we have?
I don't know that we have. We might need someone to step up in that way. Otherwise, we won't get stuff done.
I feel that's why I like working with this station because everybody's so laid back and. It's just whatever. Yeah. Like there, and ain't nobody trying to take charge of everything and stuff. Everybody just kind of go with the flow.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, we're getting text. Man, we're getting accusation. Oh my goodness, Sean lets us know that Clint thieved his Game Pass password for what does that mean? I'm not understanding what this text means. Trap ears? What's trap ears?
I don't know.
Am I reading wrong?
Must be a game. No, I'm reading it too. Oh,
God. All right, so who's the guy that will leave their stuff everywhere like it's just a open thrift store? Just leave.
Seth.
Well, he did that in this studio.
Everything.
He left his underwear.
Yeah, he left his underwear on the desk. Like, I feel like that's absolutely the one.
He loses stuff. He leaves stuff. But I say that with love.
100%. That's right.
All right, last one. Who is the let's stay in and save money person? And who is the, hey, let's blow our budget. Screw it. Or bottle service.
Who is staying and save?
Stay in and save.
I'm also sad that we did not find a Beast Scott in any of these, but because he will also be on the road with us.
Beast Scott's a little, you know, he's laid back, but he
might be the one to stay out a little later than usual.
I think he might.
I know for certain that he has had some times in New Orleans and that he has already vowed to try and not have the same type of time.
Yeah, but that
we'll see how that goes.
Man, you are getting cooked on this degree.
I am getting cooked.
47, man. Goodness gracious,
cooked.
Man.
Hey,
no wonder you take them long ass showers, man.
I will say, like, I will also have the fan on to move the air around. So, like, it's not like it's just stale in there. But yes,
Texter
I understand.
Texter also says Clint ate Tyler's food. Remember that whole thing?
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
Now, somebody said Ron is the stay in guy unless it's paid for. I don't know. I think Ron might be the opposite.
I've been around Ron a couple times, man. I can see him saying, screw it, let's get bottle service. Yeah. Let's get a session.
Seth is the stay in guy.
He'll be reading.
Seth is the stay in guy. Yeah. Save money, 100%.
Yeah. He'll be reading. Something like that.
All right, so we got the whole gamut. Well, I'll be interested. You know what? I probably need to. I'm going to go back. I'm going to document these and I'm going to check.
Let's see if we were right
about these things. But also,
we'll mess around. Parker be the one staying out all night.
Yeah. Right. Find out.
Parker's like,
let me find out.
Let's go, guys.
He going to be the one blowing the budget.
Yeah. Champagne spilled everywhere.
Hey, drinks on the house. Hey, let's go.
Shots. Who's Shots guy?
Who is Shots guy?
Because Tyler isn't going. He's staying here.
Ron is Shots guy.
Ron is Shots guy. Good answer. Yeah, Ron is Shots guy. He is. From the 843, who is going to overload the trash knowing that it needs to go out but won't take it out?
I don't know.
Ooh. I don't know. We really don't have. It's crazy to sound because we're a sports station, all guys. We don't really have no pigs on the staff, man. No. We probably the cleanest
might
station.
Might be Clint, though, if I had to pick one.
Huh. If we had to pick one?
Yeah.
I feel like Clint is about to come in here and cuss us out for talking about him like this. I feel like we gave Clint the most unflattering ones on this. Somebody said Ron. All right. Let's check in with those fellas, what they think on some of these things as we're about to cross with the guys of the Drive Clinton Show. Let's go ahead and do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, it's a Caribbean dream the way that this show is going on a Friday. In the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us all the way long. Man, I'm getting cooked. Y'all fine, man.
Hey, you was already getting cooked at the house.
Yeah.
My man got the oven on 400, cooking everything.
If you missed it, we're getting ready for we're getting ready to head to NOLA this weekend to go be a part of Radio Row ahead of the big game, and we were as a station. Our accommodations are we're getting one big house and we're sticking together as a family, and so we were trying to get ready for this by discussing which of the Sports Radio 610 personalities are various types of roommates. And I realized that y'all not living like I am.
No, we're not.
I shouldn't have dived. This is why personal information, not a thing that you should
give. That's what we do, though, man.
77 is what my thermostat is currently set at. I will also note, though, right?
Oh, there ain't no getting out of it.
No. This is not going to work in my benefit. I'm just trying.
I have a very slow metabolism.
I'm just trying.
I have low iron.
Yeah. Somebody said I was a lizard.
Yeah.
But I actually have high ceilings in my apartment, which I think also, like, all the heat rises.
Just like, less is more.
No, I'm sincerely. And then it's not carpeted as well, so I think those make it a little cooler. But you know, y'all not trying to hear none of that. I understand it. We'll talk to the fellows, Clint and Show, about how they felt about that segment and what they thought and their input on the trip to NOLA, courtesy of Flight by Yuengling, Low T Center. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Exclusive Furniture, who will be putting on our hot seat. We'll have a lazy boy, I think.
Are we having a lazy boy?
I don't know.
I know it's an armchair of some sorts that people are going to be real comfortable when they sit down with us. And then Mokarem Injury Lawyers will help you, the listener, be able to watch all the fun stuff that we're doing there in New Orleans. But before we get there, before we talk about that, I'm interested how you feel about Cam Newton here. Cam Newton, a MVP in the NFL, went to one Super Bowl. What was that, 2015? Was that, or was it the 16th
Super Bowl? Don't remember the year.
The 2015 year, yeah. Something like that.
That was the year they played the Seahawks. No, not the Seahawks. They played the Broncos.
Did they play the Patriots? Or I can't recall. I can't remember who they won, because all I remember was that one play at the end where Cam Newton there was a fumble and he had an opportunity to drop on it, and he simply did not. Mm-hmm. And that one he caught a lot of flack behind that. However, he is now on First Take on ESPN, and this was an interesting
Broncos.
Question. Was it the
Broncos? Yeah, it was the Broncos. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Of course, Figgy's right about that. but yes, this was a question that was asked of him about MVPs versus Super Bowls.
I ask you, Cam, if you could give back that league MVP for a Super Bowl championship, would you do it?
Nope.
Oh.
Really?
Really?
Why?
Because you have to ask it through this lens. That was a very journalistic viewpoint or vantage point or response, Stephen A. Ask you this question, and, you know, just to pose this thought. What's more important, impact or championships? I know that's not the popular pick. I'm trying to be popularized. But my take is I'm taking individual success because I did my job. Football is not about one guy trying to do 11 jobs. Mm-hmm. It's 11 guys doing one job. And if everybody does their job best, famous words of our coach Belichick, just do your job.
I don't mind his comments there. I get it. But I also feel like you literally had a chance to win a Super Bowl right there and didn't get it done. And it's not a popular opinion. I actually respect that he said what he feels. You know, he would rather have the MVP than a Super Bowl. And I think on an individual level, ultimately it might help him more, you know, or helped him more. I just don't think most players would agree with that.
I kind of disagree with that, man. I feel like a lot of players kind of side with him more than what we think. Because I think Aaron, I had this discussion with Arian Foster one time, and he kind of side on that side of the road where, you know, he said the MVP at least know that you did everything you could do to get your team a championship.
No, I've said this multiple times. I think a lot of people would be very surprised. Like, the real priorities of not just an NFL player but a professional athlete is first get into the league. That's priority number one. Priority number two is get the second contract. After priority number two comes however you feel about individual accolades or Hall of Fame careers or team, team wins and getting to a Super Bowl or an NBA championship or a World Series. People would be shocked. And maybe they wouldn't. Like, it comes, get in the league, get your second contract. Then we can talk about individual accolades and championships.
And, I mean, on the way there, right, in trying to get those things, those aren't entirely
mutual. But those are the priorities.
Those aren't entirely mutually exclusive. But, I think that there's a lot of guys who, you're trying to set yourself up. Like, this is the business
and it's fair
aspect of it. I'm kind of with him on this, and I thought I was going to be the one who was,
I don't mind what he said. At least he's being honest.
We got people on the text line, and I thought this was going to be more of what it was like from the 713. That just shows Cam Newton's personality. He's all about him. Ask Lamar Jackson if he would give up his MVPs for a couple of Super Bowl trophies. And yes, Lamar has said that.
It's plural.
But I feel like it's a little different when you then won the MVP already and don't have the championship. Yes. Like, J.J. Watt would give up anything to get that Super Bowl. But
that's Cam Newton. Cam Newton, we're talking about the exact thing. He's won an MVP and has not won a Super Bowl. And in that same space, he is saying, nah, that MVP matters more to me. And I do wonder, because, like, I know that the guys in the morning were talking about this, and they were, I think, I understand and I respect their points, especially to the idea of the Super Bowl gains you more recognition, and I hear why you say that, but I don't agree for it. Because, they mentioned Dan Marino. They're like, he doesn't get enough due, and I'm like, I feel like we give him a lot of due talking about how he does not get enough due. Like, I feel like that's one of those things that almost works backward where we talk about, oh, man, he's been so great. He didn't win a Super Bowl, but you don't understand. He was so great. And then I could think about dudes who won a Super Bowl that I'm like, yeah, but, right, like, we're talking about Eli Manning probably going in the Hall of Fame, and I think all of us roll our eyes at that because we're like, hey, we're doing a lot because he has a Super Bowl. Hey, how about Joe Flacco?
Yeah.
Like, Joe Flacco has a Super Bowl, but, I mean, are we really talking about him on the same way? Hell, if I want to get real disrespectful, hey, how about Trent Dilfer? What's happening there?
Come on,
right?
Man.
Like, Trent Dilfer got him a Super Bowl. He's got him a Super Bowl ring on his finger. How y'all feel about Trent Dilfer as a quarterback? Because I can tell you, I don't feel nothing about Trent Dilfer as a quarterback.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a different category. I will argue the Dan Marino thing. I do think he doesn't get enough credit in this respect. Had he just won one Super Bowl, I think he'd be firmly in the discussion of greatest quarterback ever. He was that good. He was that transcendent. Mm-hmm. He was throwing for 5,000 yards when everybody else was throwing for 3,000. So he doesn't get enough credit at that highest level. Like, I think it would be, and I know Brady and Mahomes are at the top, but back before the Brady years, it would be Montana, Marino, and he's not in that, but just one would have done it. But, so that's the argument for what a title could do for you.
But my thing is, the question was, would you give up your MVP for that Super Bowl? Right. Like,
no, like I said, maybe it's a surprise.
Yeah, I mean,
mind that.
Yeah,
I get it.
I just don't know. Like, how good are you if you just give up that MVP and just win let's say you never won an MVP, but you win a Super Bowl. Are you satisfied then?
Satisfied is such an interesting word to use there, because that gets to different places, and I think that starts speaking to aspirations. 979, and this is a very pragmatic look at it. Plus, you'd have a Super Bowl ring to show off. Like, just that, just having that particular thing.
I think MVP gets a ring.
Yeah, but how many times have you seen somebody wear an MVP ring as opposed
to... I'm not around that many MVPs.
But even if there was,
yeah.
Right?
But I get your point.
Yeah.
I just don't see somebody... Let's say somebody like Josh Allen. I don't know if Josh Allen going to win it this year. He probably will win it this year, I'm guessing. I don't know, but...
No, I think Lamar Jackson might have
at the end
taken that one
and
right
not in the playoffs
back,
at the end of the season,
let's say Josh Allen win a Super Bowl. Like, I still feel like he probably wish he would have won an MVP.
Well, yeah, I think that in that instance, it's just whatever.
Like, somebody like that won a Super Bowl but never won an MVP. I feel like on a personal level, he probably would have just wish he won the MVP.
Yeah.
I also wonder how much, I mean, obviously, so much of this is about Cam Newton as an individual, but also thinking about his, the way he has come up, I will always. Cam Newton is an interesting dude for me because I can't take away the thoughts that I have of him, like playing at Auburn. And if you go back and watch, look at that Auburn team. What was that, 2010?
Yeah.
When you go back and look at that team, the rest, the dudes that was around him, there aren't any, like, mm-hmm. they're not dudes that were drafted that year.
Yeah.
There aren't NFL players on there. It is dudes and Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. He carried them to a championship. In that same
hell, he won a vein. National championship at Blinn.
Yes, he did. And in that same vein, go and look at that 2015 Carolina Panthers team.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of dudes on that team. And so, like, I feel like for him, he's like, yeah, the MVP is cool, but that, I feel like we spread that thing.
Because he's kind of telling on that Panthers team.
He was like
I did my job.
I got us there. And that MVP is indicative of how good I was to get that team success.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of players say too. Like, when you win that MVP, you did your part. Mm-hmm. You kind of did your part. And it is a team game, man.
But that's also like a real jerk. Like, I very much like laugh at the notion of, you know, one of those y'all lost type games where it's like, no, I didn't lose, y'all lost. That's kind of the mentality that it seems like comes through there, and people.
That's the unpopular.
You don't want to say that out loud.
Yeah, that's the stuff they don't say out loud.
Yeah.
Like, they probably do. A lot of people make personal decisions.
Yeah.
That they don't discuss.
And I think, again, to get back to this, and like, I guess the more wholesome and probably the part of the discussion for Cam that I imagine plays a lot easier is just the idea that, if you say that you have a Super Bowl, that can mean that a lot of different people factored into it. If you say you have an MVP, that speaks specifically to you and what you've done. And I think
that's what he's saying.
What he was getting after.
Yeah, really. And he wouldn't give it up.
Show ain't hearing none of that. And I have a feeling that now he's going to weigh in on the Cam Newton thing instead of talking about the fact that we was saying that he was the one that most likely to pack a whole bunch of stuff for this trip to NOLA.
Yeah, I think y'all most definitely looking at the wrong person.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, really?
Clint?
There was one person who was at the
hair
the
product.
Gate and was having to switch stuff around in his bag. We came back from Vegas.
Oh, he was overweight?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
See, that's funny. It's like, we think, Clint, we think of you as like, you know, just real down to earth, but you also a pretty boy. I forget that.
I mean, it's more of a being prepared than it is. I'll be honest with you. I don't have the wardrobe to be like real selective about, like, I got to bring this and make sure it goes with this. I mean, I will bring enough. I'm gonna bring enough.
Figure it out later.
You better believe my bag is going to be. All right. My bag is going to be up against 50 pounds.
Okay.
It's going, give or take, it's going to be 50.
I'm rolling them bad boys. Yeah, yeah. I got them all. Yeah, ain't me.
I'll have me a little hang-up bar across the back of the truck. You ain't got, don't put your big stuff in your bag, man. Bring it, we're hanging up in the back of the truck, cuz. I'll have that thing. I only need about half of it. You and B. Scott can have that.
I'm
going to have me every bit of 4 or 5 pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Pair of boots.
The Cam thing, I know my take is completely different. What I got from Cam on that, and it's kind of been brewing for me, is I just want somebody like L. Ryan Clark, somebody that trusts him. Because I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
He is, my biggest thing from Cam is, Cam's a smart dude.
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying to go up there. And he's trying to use, he's, in my opinion, mm-hmm. to try to sound like he can
There's
hold
more depth.
Up
yeah, yeah.
with Stephen A.
I think that's Cam Newton. Have you heard some of Cam's Camisms?
No, I know, and it's every week. Like, I mean, you know, like, yeah, in the cut you made, like, I'm not trying to be popularized. Like, that's not how you, just talk how you talk, big dog.
Yeah.
That is
you're
how,
smart.
I think
you're
that's
smart.
How Cam talks.
You're smart. No, I don't. I don't think when Cam is around, I don't think he's, I've listened to his podcast.
Mm-hmm. Cam said the monotonism of life.
but again, in that, it's like, dude,
yeah.
you don't
just
gotta, you don't have to
just
do
say
that.
It. Yeah.
And he's not doing it to be funny. He's, mm-hmm. I think he's, and look, I've been here. I used to have a real problem. My wife, mm-hmm. communications like you, John. I used to have a real problem with trying to write in a voice that's not my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Cam's doing that, and that is just, it takes away from so much. And it's just like, I wish somebody would pull you down. Dog, I know you trying to
Yeah, sound,
sound
a different
a certain way.
Way.
But you're making yourself sound what you're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
That's my whole takeaway from,
yeah,
from the MVP thing. I'm not surprised. I actually enjoy his honesty.
That's what, yeah, I said.
Candor,
I that's exactly, yeah, what
there's
I said.
There's a lot of people there. Yeah. But
that's fair.
That part there is just like, come on, Cam.
He's awful on TV.
I
mean, it's bad. And I agree with a lot of what Ron's saying is
and we were just talking about this before we walked.
Mm-hmm. And it's we talked about something on the Jameis Winston front the other day, like when with the way that they hired him to do this New Orleans thing.
Yeah, yeah. Digital
is huge. Wheelhouse, mm-hmm, and can make millions and millions doing it. Right? It's all about placement. Putting Cam Newton
there
on that set with the highest paid, a master debater in, mm-hmm, Stephen A,
mm-hmm,
and with people that are, the mindset is, I'm going to pick apart what you say.
Yep.
And then he just,
that's not a bad point.
I mean, he word vomits point. And they're like, the only chance he has is if they don't understand what the hell he's saying. I turn around, like, to me, the biggest weapon as a former player you have, and I say weapon, but to say your best, sure, is to say, all right, now, I agree with a lot of what y'all said, and I get it,
mm-hmm,
but let me tell you about it from being there and, yeah, boots on the ground, sure, and what it looks like when your hands are under the center. Mm-hmm. And,
right.
You know, that's your, and he screws that up.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying, to Ron's point, he's trying to do something else, and it's just like, man.
Be yourself.
I'm a Cam fan. In the right setting.
Be yourself.
Cam talking about money and women and you know, all the fashion and hats and all that. Like, I'm in on that.
And I understand there's a time you felt like you had to do that.
Yeah. But that time isn't now for you.
Mm-hmm. That time is you can be yourself.
Yeah.
You can be yourself. You're smart enough.
I'm super excited for the show today. I'm super excited to see you guys once we get to a house out in NOLA.
Yeah, man.
It'll be fun.
I will take, if I need some toothpaste and I ain't got none, I will borrow some toothpaste. You know what I mean?
I'm glad. All right. I will snore. Oh, okay. He's going for the snoring crown. I like that. All right. We're done In the Loop for the week. In fact, next time you'll hear from us, we'll be in the state of Louisiana and New Orleans, getting you ready. Till then, listen to KILT AM, KILT FM HD2 Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, on a Friday, the drive is live.